Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Created in me a clean heart and purify me, purify me. Create in me a clean heart so I may worship thee. Everybody say yeah.
Network, every man standing in his place. Tonight we're going to be discussing how Jesus Christ wants you to hear him and he wants you to desire spiritual things and pursue love. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You are greatly to be praised. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent so that we could live life more than abundantly and so that our sin can be paid for. Father, give us the wisdom and the willingness to forgive others so that we can freely receive the forgiveness that comes from you, so that we can boldly stand in your presence and know that we are worthy to be in your presence and that you hear us. Father, I thank you for you hearing us when we pray. I thank you for you responding to our prayers to you. I thank you for you enlarging our path and giving us power and direction to fulfill your purpose that you place within our life. God, I thank you for you getting all of the glory for our absolute trust and confidence and faith in you. Father, allow us to exhibit absolute power in the world so that people can understand the difference between you and every other so-called God in this world. Father, I thank you for you getting all of the glory. I thank you for you getting all of the honor. I thank you for you getting all of the praise. I thank you for us acknowledging you in every aspect of our life, the good, the great, the bad, and the ugly, so that we can understand that you cause all of those things to work together for our good because we love you and we are called for your purpose. Father, we know that your purpose is being fulfilled in our life and in the world because of our obedience to you, because we intentionally serve you, trust you, please you, and obey you as men of God. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And we're going to listen to the Song of Praise by Fred Hammond.
When the trials press in and the tears won't stop, I want to think it's some strange thing, but it's really just you, Father, allowing all this stuff and pressure to push me closer to you. I need to say it.
Pushing me, Lord. Pushing me.
you say it, you know. I don't know about you, but I got to say it because I got to be. I want to be better, Lord, so push me into my destiny.
Want to be better.
Network, every man standing in his place. And this evening we're going to be discussing how Jesus Christ wants us to hear him, and Jesus Christ wants us to desire spiritual things and pursue love. As men of God, we should never settle for what this world offers us in pride, but we should always look to receive what God has for us, because God's desire is that we live freely before him and boldly, and we represent him in the earth. I want you to feel welcome to comment on anything that you hear tonight. I want you to feel welcome to be led of the Holy Spirit to say whatever God puts on your heart tonight. This show is open. It is an open discussion and an open forum, but we are going to be rooted in the Word of God. So I'm going to start tonight's discussion in the book of Matthew, and I'm going to be looking at Matthew chapter 12 in the discussion that lets us know that Jesus Christ wants us to hear him, and he wants us to desire spiritual things, not the things of this earth. He wants us to pursue love above all other things. And so when we do this, when we get in this mindset that is Christ-like, what I want us to see tonight is how we are allowing ourselves to truly be free, because many of us believe that we're doing the right thing when we are leaning to our own understanding and we're being wise in our own eyes. And that feels like the right thing because we've been taught and raised for most of our lives to do that, to lean to our own understanding and to be wise in our own eyes. Now, as a man, I'm not saying be a fool by no stretch of the imagination. Am I saying be a fool? But trusting in God sometimes may feel that way. And when God says, I need you to go left, or I need you to go to this place, and he doesn't tell you why, he doesn't tell you how you're going to get there, he doesn't tell you anything except go. And then you move in the direction that God tells you to go, even though you don't have all of the facts. You don't have all of the information. You're just trusting in God. And see, trusting in God is one of the ways that we give God glory. We glorify God as we trust, because we are acknowledging that only God knows everything. See, God is the only entity in existence that knows the past, present, and future. And when we trust God, acknowledging how he is the only one who knows everything, that is called omniscience. It's called all-knowing. That's one of the three qualities of God that make God God. There is no other entity like God in existence. God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. God is omnipresent. That means he's present everywhere. And God is omnipotent. And God is all-powerful. That's what that means. And so when we acknowledge God's omniscience, his knowing of all things, then we can trust him absolutely when he says, I need you to do whatever it is he gives us to do. And so when we get to that place where we truly trust God, then it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what it looks like to others, or even how it looks like to us. If we're doing what God has given us, we're trusting God, and God is going to make it work. God is going to cause what we do to prosper and have a positive effect. So if God tells you start a business, start a business. If God tells you marry a woman, marry a woman. If God tells you start a family, start a family. If God tells you start a ministry, start a ministry. Whatever God gives you to do, don't allow yourself to be swayed by the circumstances or the opinions of others or any set of circumstances that would come against what God has given you to do. Seeing as a man standing in your place, you're going to find that as you trust God, you're going to be able to stand in your place more confidently because you're not just going to be standing there on your own ability. See, trusting yourself is always a fool's errand. It is an equation for disaster. Leaning to your own understanding is always an equation for disaster. And that's why we trust God. Then we serve God, not by making what we want, what he wants, but by studying his word, praying, fasting, doing our good deeds secretly, and praying secretly and fasting secretly, and allowing God to lead us by the Holy Spirit so that what God wants is what we want. We want, when we go before God in prayer, we are seeking and accepting our assignment from God, understanding that with our rights, with all of the privileges that we walk in as children of God, there are responsibilities. The responsibility is to help God fulfill his master plan of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations by going out and reconciling the world back to God and identifying those people that God has called before the foundations of the world to be his children and bringing them in. See, as men of God, there are some people that only we can reach. There are some men who are only going to listen to me. There are some men who are only going to listen to you because you have been where they've been. You understand what they understand. And when you begin to speak and introduce the people that you have access to the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, their life is going to change, just like your life changed, just like my life changed. And when they realize that if God could save me, he could save them. If God can save you, he can save them. If God could transform your life, he can transform their life. And when we get to that level of God's business, God is going to bless us. Because, see, when you desire spiritual things, you want what God wants. God says that when we delight in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. And what he's literally saying is he will give us what to desire. He will give us what to want so that what we want is what God wants. And what that means is whatever God has placed on your heart will come to pass. So it's not a question of if it's possible. It's a matter of when is God going to bring it to fruition and what are you doing to prepare yourself for what God has already shown you he is in the process of doing in your life, right? So when you're desiring these spiritual things and you're pursuing love first with God by submitting to him and saying, God, I trust you absolutely. And see, the reason we trust God absolutely is because God makes absolute promises to us in his word. God promises us that we will live life more than abundantly because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to make the more than abundant life available to us. That means that first, spiritually, your life becomes whole because you have the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within you. Then mentally, your life becomes whole because you begin to understand the word of God. You hear and see what God has made known to all people, but you can only really understand the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. So as a result of your spiritual wholeness, now your mental condition can be restored so that you can renew your mind to the Word of God. You can allow what God's Word says to replace what people have said about you. To replace what the world says about what is going on today, to replace what the circumstances say things are going to be for you, to replace what the economy says things are going to be for you. See, God has the power to override all of that. What God says is what's going to happen. So God can do all things, from heal any sickness or disease, to canceling all debt, to forgiving you absolutely of all things as you have forgiven others of all things. And I'll tell you, that's a hard thing for many people to do. But see, true submission to God requires obedience, right? So when God says, I need you to forgive others so that you can receive my forgiveness, what he's telling us is there is no individual in existence who is going to transgress or who has transgressed against us more than we have transgressed against God during our whole life. And God is saying, look, if I'm going to forgive you for all of that, then I need you to forgive whoever you've placed on your personal dartboard. I need you to replace that person with forgiveness. I need you to forgive them as an acknowledgement of my forgiveness of all of your sin. And when you think of it like that, it's easy to do, because if you think of the fact that God had to send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, and then his son had to obey him, even though he was innocent, even though he did not deserve, especially the death of the cross, and while people were spitting on him and hitting him, and railing at him, and just doing all kinds of things, and he did not speak out against that. He continually glorified God and finished his assignment until the end. But see, we see where Jesus Christ, after he fulfills his assignment, after he is dead in a stone tomb for 3 days and three nights, God raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth so that he could undo the curse that resulted from Adam's disobedience, and then send the Holy Spirit to dwell within mankind again, to dwell within us the way it dwelt within us before Adam sinned, before Adam messed it up for us. And now that we've been restored, we have to learn to walk in that power that we have available to us. We have to learn to walk in that unlimited power of the Holy Spirit so that we can truly represent God as men of God. That's what it means for every man to stand in his place, is to understand that Jesus Christ wants you to hear him, desire spiritual things, pursue love. So I'm going to start here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 46, and I'm going to read down to verse 50 for this first part. It says, while he, Jesus Christ, was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now, if there's any word that we should take seriously in the Bible, it is what Jesus Christ says. And what Jesus Christ is telling the person here who is pointing out that, hey, I know you're ministering, but your mom and your brothers are outside and they want to speak to you. And Jesus Christ says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And then he turns and acknowledges his disciples and says, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. That's what Jesus Christ said. So now, when we want to be in that place where we hear Jesus Christ, where we desire spiritual things and we pursue love, we are pursuing the will of our Master. So that now, whoever does the will of God in heaven is the brother of Jesus Christ, the sister of Jesus Christ, the mother of Jesus Christ. Whoever does the will of God, Jesus Christ says, I'm connected to you. I'm obligated to you. And many times in our life, when we start getting closer to God, you know who's going to start pulling at us? The people we are most connected to. The people right in the center of your life, they're threatened. I remember when I started seriously pursuing my relationship with God, and those closest to you are the ones who are the most threatened by that, because they do not understand the transformation that is happening in your life. See, they know you the way that they've known you ever since they've known you. Many of these people have grown up with you. They lived in the same house with you. They've experienced life with you. They understand your proclivities. They understand your strengths and your weaknesses. They know you the way they know you. But as men, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit has a transformative way of working within our lives. See, the Holy Spirit is there present within us in order to transform us into something other than what we were before we were saved, so that we're no longer subject to what people think, what people want, what people believe, what people observe, what people say, or what people do, because he who is within us is greater than he who is in the world. And we have to stand on that. We have to believe that. And when you stand on that and you believe that, the way that you move in the world changes. The way that you maneuver in the world changes, because we are trusting in God absolutely, because God's power is absolute power. I was speaking with a gentleman of another religion not too long ago, and I was sharing with him the difference between relative power and absolute power. Because, see, you have to understand that there are other spiritual forces in the world, and they do have power. But you have to understand that greater is the power that is within you through the Holy Spirit than the power that is in others in the world. And when you understand that that power is relative power, their power that they have through the devil is greater than those with no power who have not made God or the devil their master. They just do what they want to do until they decide to come into God's house or they come into the devil's house and they submit to that authority of that household. But we, when we come into the household of God, we start by submitting to the authority of his son, Jesus Christ, and making his son, Jesus Christ, our master. And when we do that, then the Holy Spirit that arrives within our lives, that is within us, it transforms us into what we need to be so that we can walk in absolute power. Absolute power always trumps relative power. Relative power is to be compared with a greater power, which would be the Holy Spirit, or a lesser power, which would be those in the world with no power spiritually, who are just wandering around aimlessly. And it is just like when you see a homeless person who is on the street or under a bridge, or just they're homeless and uncovered. Well, if you're in the devil's house, you're covered in this world. If you're in God's house, you're covered in this world, you're covered in the next world, but your covering is eternal and is a benefit to you now and in eternity. But for those who are not in God's house or the devil's house, what do? We have to share with them the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And we have to share with them what it says in Acts 2:38 and 39, is that they need to repent of their sin. They need to turn away from serving sin and turn to serving Christ as their master. They need to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they need to do what it says in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13, where they call on the name of Jesus Christ. They confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is their master and Lord. They believe in their heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, and they shall be saved. Absolutely, they shall be saved. And then they need to believe to speak in tongues and prophesy, so that they know that they know that they know that now they're engaged to that spiritual power within them through communication with God. See, the reason that the devil sought to separate mankind from God was because God loved mankind. God spent regular time every day communing with Adam and talking with Adam and working alongside Adam because he loved Adam. And the devil found a way to separate, to create a wedge between God and Adam, where God and Adam can no longer communicate. Well, the power of the Holy Spirit within you not only gives you access to hear God, but gives you access to speak to God in your heavenly prayer language. It says in Jude that we're to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, right? As we pray in the Spirit, as we speak in tongues. And when we get to that point where we're desiring spiritual things, we want God to hear us. We want to hear God. So that when we're in situations like Jesus Christ was here, where the people who are watching him minister are saying, hey, are you going to keep ignoring your brother and your mothers who are outside waiting to talk to you? You know they're out here waiting to talk to you. And Jesus Christ looks over at his disciples and says, these are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. Those, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and mother. We begin to establish a baseline standard for our life. And Jesus Christ said his baseline standard for a relationship with others and responding to others is, whoever does the will of my Father, those are the ones that I respond to. And what that means is that now he is focused on those that he is assigned to, right? We as men are assigned to people in our lives. We're assigned to our wives. We're assigned to our children. And we're assigned, many of us, to those who are under our authority at work or at school or at play, whoever we are in contact with. And for those who are under our authority, they're looking to our example. They want to see a man who's walking in real power. And unfortunately, in the world today, there is so much fake out there that it's hard to be able to establish what's real and what is fake. So let me tell you what is real Christianity, because fake Christianity looks a lot like real Christianity, but it is not. So fake Christianity pleases people. It does everything that you can to look right in the presence of others, but is not so concerned about pleasing God, because, see, God sees everything. And when you seek to please God, your level of humility and submission becomes real, because you acknowledge, you understand that every day you need God's mercy. That's why God makes his mercy new to you every day, because you're going to need it. God's mercy is the judgment, the punishment that we deserve that we don't get for the things that we do that we shouldn't do. And then God's grace is his unmerited favor. It's all the great things that we get from God every day that we don't deserve. And God's grace is also his enabling power to do whatever God has given us to do. And the reason God sets it up like that every day with new grace and new mercy isn't just because we need it. It's because whatever God assigns us to do, whatever God gives us to do as men, he doesn't want to hear our excuses for why we didn't do it. He's saying, look, I gave you everything you needed. I gave you the mercy so that when you fall, when you stumble, you could pick yourself up without wallowing in guilt and shame and doubt and worry and fear. You could get back up and trust me and keep moving and do what I've given you to do. And then I gave you all of the favor that you need, all of the good things you need to get the job done. And I gave you the enabling power, the ability to make change happen in the world by placing the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within you. See, as men, when you have access to power, absolute power, then you don't need to worry about whether or not what God has given you to do is going to get done. You need to simply trust God and keep moving forward. Keep moving in a way that gets glory for God, no matter what people say or people think or people believe or people don't believe. I know in many cases when Jesus was about to do a mighty work, when he was about to raise the dead or heal the blind or do things that other people didn't think could be done, where they were laughing him to scorn. I remember one example in the Gospels where he was going to raise this little girl from the dead, and they laughed him to scorn. And then he had to put them out of the room. He put the unbelievers out of the room. He put all the unbeliefs out of the room, and then he raised the girl from the dead. And see, just imagine, those who were laughing at him before are now acknowledging that, hey, this might be the Messiah. This might be the Son of David. This is something greater than anything I've seen, because see, power gets glory for God by going past the circumstances, by not worrying about who's laughing or who thinks you're doing the right thing or not. See, this person here who was pointing out to Jesus while he was preaching that his brothers and sisters and his mother were waiting to speak with him outside, he said, hey, you know what? I'm going to stop to acknowledge you and let you know that whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. When we get like that, what we're going to do is we're going to free ourselves up of the need to please other people. See, people manipulate you. Manipulation is a form of witchcraft. When they attempt to get you to submit to pleasing others instead of pleasing God, they are taking you away from your assignment and giving you a fool's errand, because it is impossible to please people. And it is a waste of your time trying to please people. But rest assured, when you're pleasing God, there are people who are going to be pleased by what you do, because you're going to be encouraging them. You're going to be empowering them. You're going to be strengthening them. You're going to be comforting them. You're going to be focused on them. And so what happens is when we fall into the trap of pleasing people, then we're really focused on ourselves. We're focused on whether or not we have pleased this group of people or this individual to an extent that is going to gain us favor from these people. And I can tell you that these people cannot give you what God can give you. And so we please God because God can be pleased with us because he sees everything. Only God can hear your thoughts. Only God can see what you're going to do before you do it. The good, the great, the bad, and the ugly. And God has made provision for all of that. So never believe the devil can stop you from doing what he's given you to do. As a matter of fact, I want to encourage you that if God tells you to say something, say something. If God tells you to do something, do something. If God tells you to help develop something, help develop something, right? Well, I want to share with you this parable that Jesus Christ shares in Matthew chapter 13. And he shares this parable in order to make a distinction between those who have been sent to see his ministry as spectators and those who have been sent to receive the word from him so that they can really hear what he's saying and really do what he's saying. So look at what it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured them. Some of the seed fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some brought forth an increase of 100-fold. Some brought forth an increase of 60-fold. And some brought forth an increase of 30-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came to Jesus and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He, Jesus Christ, answered to them and said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. See, what's interesting here is that Jesus Christ makes a distinction between those who are assigned, those who are able to hear the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and those who have not. And those who have not been called to hear the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, he speaks to them in parables. But listen to what he says to his disciples, those who follow him, those who do the will of his Father in heaven. He says in verse 12, Jesus Christ says, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they did not see, and hearing they did not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Look at what it says in verse 16. Jesus Christ says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. See, they were looking for the Messiah to come for a very long time. Now, all of a sudden, the Messiah comes. The Messiah is with them, and they don't acknowledge him. They don't believe him. They don't believe he's the Messiah. So they follow him around, questioning him. Look at what it says here in verse 18. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. So now Jesus Christ is going to explain this parable that he shared with the multitudes who were not going to hear it. They were not going to see it. But now he's explaining and expounding it to his disciples. He says, blessed are your eyes, for they shall see, and your ears, for they shall hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men had a desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So now, do you see how he broke down what he said earlier? When he was speaking to the multitudes in the parable, and he said that the seed that fell by the wayside was seed that was eaten by the birds, right? It was eaten by the fowls of the air. Well, in verse 19, he explains that these are people who, when they hear the word of the kingdom, they don't understand it. And the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this is he who received the seed by the wayside. They just don't understand what they've heard because their eyes are dull and their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes are dim of sight. They can't see. So now look at what it says in verse 20. Jesus Christ says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy. So he hears the word. He receives it with joy immediately. Verse 21 says, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now look at this as men. That's why we have to be prepared, because when you make a commitment to God, when you say, I am going to seek God out, tribulation is going to come. Persecution is going to come. And when it does, if you don't have the root of the word of God within you, that's why praying is important. Fasting is important. Doing your good deeds secretly is important. Forgiving is important. All of these things are important because when you have the root of the word in you, then you don't just respond to your immediate joy of receiving salvation, but you establish a root in God's word. You begin to have a knowledge of what God has done in the past because you studied his word. You have a knowledge of what God is doing in the present because you studied his word. And you have an understanding of what God is going to do in the future because you studied his word. And that root in you allows you to be prepared to endure some tribulation, because we know, as it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that tribulation worketh patience, patience works experience, experience works hope. And it is that patience, experience, and hope that allows the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts, right? But that's why when we're mature in Christ, when we have been rooted and grounded in God's word, then when tribulation arises, we rejoice in tribulation and persecution, because we know that it says in Matthew chapter 5 that we're blessed. We are blessed. And those who are not rooted in the word, you don't know that tribulation is just God's way of getting you more patience, more experience, and more hope so that the love of God can be shed abroad in your heart. You think it's the end of the world and that you made a bad move, and so immediately they stumble. And so that is the, and it says in verse 22, it says, now he who received the seed among thorns, is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. See, this can happen in any of our lives if we are not careful. But when we, and that's why we want to be rooted in the word, but it's also why we want to pursue love and desire spiritual things, because if you desire the things of this world, right? The things of this world are referred to here as thorns. He who receives the seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So remember how I was talking about real Christianity and fake Christianity, and how fake Christianity pleases people? The other thing that fake Christianity does is it serves mammon, it serves money. This is where it's talking about serving mammon, serving money. And when the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world choke the life of the word out of the individual, as the thorns choke the fruitfulness of the seed that fell, that's what's going on here, is you're serving mammon. God says you can't serve God and mammon. You have to choose. You can't serve God and money. You have to choose. And the deceitfulness of riches is that people believe, if I had enough money, I wouldn't have any problems. And that's a lie. That's nonsense. And we all know it, but we don't believe it until you find out. But then it says they become unfruitful after they allow the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke the life of the word out of us. And see, God is concerned about our fruitfulness. But look at what it says here in verse 23. It says, but he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. See, so it's not about how fruitful you are, but that you are fruitful. And those who hear the word and understand it and are fruitful and produce fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, understanding that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. These things allow you to be rooted and grounded in the word, and live a fruitful Christian life as men of God. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to allow yourself to know that Jesus Christ wants you to hear him. Hear his words when he says that those who do the will of my Father in heaven are my brothers and sisters and mother. And to understand that it's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That is a tremendous privilege that we have. Jesus Christ wants us to hear him, but we have to desire spiritual things. We have to delight in the word of God. We have to delight in God. We have to pursue love and understand that we should never settle for what this world offers us in pride, saying that, well, if you're a man, you'll have this, and you'll do this, and you'll do this. See, they want to trap you in a prison of pleasing people, serving money, leaning to your own understanding, and operating out of your own limited strength, talent, and ability, whereas God is putting you in a place where you please him and not people. You serve God and not money. You trust God and not yourself. You're not your own understanding. And you operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit in obedience to God instead of operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities, because the power of the Holy Spirit within you is unlimited power. It is absolute power. And as men of God, we represent God in the earth. So we don't want to go around here misrepresenting God by operating in less than the power that we've been given to walk in. So if there is anyone who has a comment, feel free to comment. And if not, I'm going to close with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Anyone interested in commenting, feel free. And if not, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to close for the evening. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth. I thank you for you getting all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. God, I thank you for you bringing us to a greater understanding of your will in our life. I thank you for you being the one who causes us to triumph in all that we do. Father, I thank you for you being the one who causes us to lead others to your son, Jesus Christ, so that they can make him their master and Lord and become your children, become your sons. Father, allow us to be the men that you've called us to be so that we can live lives that are meaningful, active, and necessary, and we can glorify you the way that you've called each and every one of us to glorify you. Father, allow us to be the ones who look to your face and not only seek your hand and your provision, but we seek relationship with you. We seek to be in your presence at all times. Father, allow us to glorify you in all that we do so that we can continue to walk in your favor. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
be a man.